Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you very much for being with me. I cherish the time that you will be spending with me, and I hope to get quite a few things done today. Specifically, I want to work on or discuss the issues of false ads and the implications that it has to our average American citizens or average American brothers and sisters, and also on, in general, what effects it will have on the GOP or what effects it should have on the GOP. But to put it more bluntly, what effects should we ensure it has on politics in general to prevent folks, to prevent our politicians from hurting Americans for their own personal gains or the gains of those for whom they're being puppeteered. Over the last several weeks, the Koch brothers funded Americans for Prosperity has been releasing false Obamacare ads about chronically sick people hurt by Obamacare. Each story has been subsequently debunked. I mean, couple on my own, and I've found that the Washington Post has really started taking these stories up one by one, debunking them each time over and over again. While this false advertising may work in the short term, it will ultimately be fatal to the GOP as Americans realize they were used as weapons against themselves. America is a free country. Free speech ensures that we can say almost anything without consequence. As a society, we have decided on exceptions to free speech. You cannot yell fire in a theater when there is no fire. You cannot yell bomb at an airport when there is no bomb. Why? Because at that point, your free speech infringes on the safety of your fellow citizens. Our corporate government has failed to stop the Koch brothers and their cohort from yelling fire in a crowded theater. We must. Give me a call. Let's talk. Telephone number 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. It so happens that this week, I decided to write an article on this specific issue as my daily post front page posting that will drop on Sunday around, I think it's dropping at Sunday 8 Central Time. This article, I was actually going to do a different article, but Greg Russick, one of our most dedicated coffee partiers, kind of posted this on my, not kind of, he posted it on my wall, and he just said, kind of, Egberto, take a look at this. When he did that, I knew what my topic was going to be after all, because as someone who has a wife with lupus, I know this subject quite well. here goes the paper that's going to drop. I want to kind of go through it quickly so that we can get calls in. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. And here goes the paper. It's titled, Sociopathic Stance on Obamacare Would Be Fatal to GOP If Successful. And notice what I said, if successful. I am not really sure that success is what they want. I think muddying the waters to make the program less than socialist the ultimate goal. I don't really think abandoning the program is the case, but that's another story. Here goes the paper. How does one remain civil when talking about a party that is knowingly hurting millions of Americans? The Koch brothers funded Americans for Progress ad featuring a leukemia patient, Julie Boomstra, was probative. It is too easy to sit back and believe that Julie Boomstra is ignorant and stupid. She is simply like millions of Americans that have been fed misinformation and distortion for years. Let me stop from the paper. I have decided, personally, open my mind and not simply look at the average American citizens who hate what they think they hate as stupid or misinformed. I think that's wrong on my part. I think what is more accurate is that myself and others in the know have failed our fellow citizens to really get that information across, and it is incumbent upon us to do it. Continuing with my paper now. Julie Boomstra monthly bill went from $1,100 a month to $571 per month, a savings of $6,348 per year. Her absolute maximum out-of-pocket, and by the way, 917, I see you'll be on the first after the paper, savings of $6,348 per year. That's how much she saved. Her absolute maximum out-of-pocket cost, including deductible, is $6,350. Americans for Progress admits, the people who actually put the ads on, admits that unlike what she said in the ad, her doctor is on the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan she is privy to. Unlike all policies pre-Obamacare, her current policy cannot be rescinded and there is no cap. Her old policy most definitely did. In other words, her costs are known and she cannot be bankrupted by medical bills. That's fact. Julie Boomstra was subsequently featured on Fox News, America's bastion of misinformation. Steve Ducey was caught off guard. He believed her new rate was $1,100 and not $571. He had the opportunity to tell his listening audience that the savings from her current insurance rate was equivalent to her current deductible with the additional benefit of a secure policy. Sadly, that would have been journalism, something neither Fox News nor most traditional media are practicing any longer. This one broadcast of misinformation likely inoculated thousands from the ability to readily process truths about Obamacare. And that's the kind of reason I give for having more empathy for the people we're trying to talk to now, folks. Continuing. Most people are not analytical. They depend on external assistance in order to make up their minds when coming into new ideas. They generally trust their leaders as people in positions of authority. They do not expect complete honesty, but neither do they expect blatant and continuous lying as a possibility. And that's what they're getting. While the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party was fighting with corporate Democrats to salvage as progressive a plan possible with a conservative health care reform bill, Republicans were busy demonizing the plan. Death panels, government takeover of health care, and throwing grandma over the cliff were the prevailing messages from Republican politicians. A derelict corporatist traditional media gave these messages a semblance of veracity. It is difficult then to put all blame on the average American citizen for their ignorance. You can't blame them when they're all these sources of information. Brian Butler wrote a Salon piece worth reading titled, "The Right's Sociopathic New Scam, Using Americans to Harm Their Own Health Plans." He acknowledged that Republicans continue to promote false horror stories after false horror stories that are all summarily debunked by a handful of diligent reporters. Politicians must do this as well. The problem is that in doing so, they find themselves in a no-win situation. If they challenge a constituent or implicitly telling their constituents that another constituent is telling a lie or telling lies. This is then spun by the right as a politician intimidating a constituent. As the Salon piece points out, Representative Gary Peters, Democrat of Michigan, found that out when his lawyer challenged the TV stations playing the Julie Boonstra ads with a plethora of lies. Brian Butler provides what is in fact an irony. And here goes his piece, his little snippet that I thought was probative. But of course, we're really just talking about Julie Boonstra here. If she and AFP, meaning the American for Progress, get prosperity, get their way, she'll be just as much a victim of Obamacare repeal as all the people who face health circumstances similar to hers. And the saddest part about that tragic irony is that Boonstra doesn't even seem to understand what her circumstances are or why it doesn't make sense to devote her energies to repealing the law. Boonstra told the Dexter Leader, she said as follows, "People are asking me for the numbers, and I don't know the answer. That's the heartbreak of this. It's the uncertainty of not having those numbers that I have an issue with, because I always knew what I was paying, and now I don't, and I haven't gone through the tests or seen my specialists yet." But that's just not so. Anyone who studied the law knows it's not so. Anyone who's paid unexpected health bills in installments knows it is not so. Well-heeled Affordable Care Act foes like Americans for Prosperity certainly know it is not so. And in that sense, AFP and everyone else on the right supporting Julie Boonstra are using her as a weapon in a war against herself. Opponents of Obamacare seeking repeal and using fallacies to mislead Americans into supporting repeal can only be considered sociopaths. I'm sorry, folks. Look up the word. Look up the word. Assuming that you are stopping Americans from getting something that they need, something that's going to save their lives, knowingly doing so. And I've written enough documents to know it as fact. My wife, as a lupus leader of the lupus group here in Kingwood, with people that were fighting for insurance, couldn't afford it or they wouldn't be insured, not having an option for decades, and now being freed because they were able to get Obamacare. This is reality. This isn't fallacy, fantasy, or a talk show. This is reality. They are knowingly asking Americans to be a weapon in a war against themselves. What Republicans, the right, conservatives, and their friends are doing unbeknownst to them could be fatal for them if successful. If successful, there will be real stories of people losing their health care, losing something they had, and losing financial security they may not realize they had. With that, I'm opening the lines. Folks, the telephone number is 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. If you have a couple of stories you want to tell as well, I'm all ears. If we don't get through it all day, you can also email it to me. I'm going to be writing up stories on this going forward. 917, thank you very much for calling in. You're on. 917, you're real loud. 917, you're on.
Yeah, can you hear me, Egberto? It's Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan, I haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing, my friend?
I'm fine, my friend. I'm walking and it's windy, so if the wind gets too much, just pass on it and come back in a little bit.
Okay.
In a windy spot. Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Come on in, and you know, it's kind of noisy, but I want to hear your initial thoughts. I'll put you on hold and then come back to you. So give me your initial thoughts.
Okay, the initial thoughts are, you're really talking about two things that say, you know, both of which I think are very interesting. You know, one is the ability for, for the corporate...
Hey, Jonathan,
the
Jonathan, 1%, you're it's too noisy. Let me ask you to do this.
Okay.
When you get, even when you can put your back
minutes.
To the ear. Yeah, I'll put you on hold for a minute.
Okay,
210-210, who do I have the honor of being? Oh, this is my friend, John. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, great, Egberto.
Talk to me, my brother.
Good afternoon. Well, I just want to say that, you know, it's been a great week for EgbertoWillies.com. You have excellent posts. Right now there's the Bill Maher post you did on spoiled plutocrats is second on the recommended list on Daily Kos. And also you have great posts about the heckler who addressed McCutcheon versus the Federal Election Commission inside the Supreme Court. Also, Daily Show's hilarious exposure of South Carolina's rejection of Medicaid expansion, and on and on. I really think it's been one of the best weeks you've ever had. So I really highly suggest for people to go to your website because you put up a lot of great things.
Thank you, sir.
As far as the lies that are being told, I'll start with a quote from Daily Kos front page, Joan McCarter. It says, the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, should be renamed Americans for Full Employment of Fact Checkers. And Jonathan,
I saw that.
Yeah, Jonathan Chait also said, the new rule in conservative media is that if you are a terrible enough disease, your claims can't be used in attack ads, and any reporter who tries to verify them is insensitive to their illness. So that's one take. There's also a really good article by Armanda Marcotte, who is a Texan who moved up to Brooklyn. And he quotes, I believe his name is Brian Beutler, is how it's pronounced. But the first quote that she has is it's from an article, I believe, on Tuesday. It says, "If you see traces of the same Gaultist tendencies among conservatives in states that are resisting the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, it's just that Republican governors are denying their poorest constituents a paid-for Medicaid expansion. That will certainly contribute to the tiering in American health care. This will insulate the right from the left. It's also that the Affordable Care Act, private health care enrollment in conservative states is generally lagging far, far behind enrollment in liberal states. This isn't just a health care gov versus non-health care gov state issue. It's also true among states with federally facilitated exchanges, and there are political and cultural forces behind the trend. Enrollment isn't just discouraging conservative parts of the country. It's stigmatized. Remember Betty from the GOP's official State of the Union response? Her problem stems from the fact that she wouldn't even go on the Obama website at all. And,
right.
And she's from relatively liberal Washington state. So this is Armanda Marcotte again. She says, here's what's going on. I think the disconnect between the horror stories that conservatives are trotting out about insurance companies canceling plans and selling their customers more expensive plans and the inevitable fact-checking that comes later when mainstream media points out that if the person in question just bought through the healthcare exchanges, they would actually save money. The latest version is this woman in the Koch brothers paid ad in Michigan, which is wildly dishonest. And then he goes on and he talks about the Julie Boonstra. So I'll just go ahead and skip that part. But let me actually read a couple of sentences. It says, now that my out-of-pocket costs are so high, it's unaffordable. I do not receive my medication. If I do not receive my medication, I will die. Now, this is from the actual commercial.
Yes.
I believe the president, and I believe that I would keep my health insurance plan. I feel lied to. It's heartbreaking for me. Congressman Peters, and the ad is directed towards Gary Peters, who's running for the Senate. He's the Democratic candidate running for the Senate from Carl Levin's seat. Mr. Levin is retiring. Your decision to vote for a common Obamacare jeopardizes myself. Now, this is back to Amanda Markoch. It says, that's terrible, except that it's bull, and I'll say bull pucky instead of the word she puts out. Obamacare
right.
actually lowers health care costs, as the Washington Post reports. Not only is this a plan in the exchange that includes her current plan doctor, it is a plan that limited her out-of-pocket costs.
Exactly. Not
so
only that,
there's
yeah, let me just break in for 1 second. There's an important thing that everybody listening to this show needs to realize. When you get this particular plan, there is actually a max. Okay, I'm coming to you next, Jonathan. There's actually a maximum amount that will come out of pocket. And that's how these plans were designed. In other words, where she talks about not knowing what her monies or caps are, the maximum that she can come out of pocket is equivalent to the maximum deductible, or rather the maximum cost of her previous policy, which means even though her maximum, which means this policy is a lot cheaper than her current policy, even when deductible is taken into place. But continue, John, and then I need to jump back to Jonathan.
Okay, so here, I mean, that total is $6,348.
Right.
So if people are interested. So here's another quote from a Kevin Drum article, which I really enjoy. It says, so here's my question. If this is the best American for Prosperity can do, does that mean that no one is truly being harmed by Obamacare? Hell, I'm a diehard defender of Obamacare, and even I can see that there ought to be at least hundreds of thousands of people who are truly worse off with their own plans. But if that's the case, why is it that every single hard luck story like this falls upon under the barest scrutiny? Why can't Americans for Prosperity find someone whose premiums really have doubled and who really did lose their doctor or who really did have a hard time getting the care that she's used
to? Because most people, you know what the answer is.
Because it's not happening.
Exactly, and you know, and what you just said is so important. Let me bring Jonathan into the discussion. Jonathan, come on in.
Yeah, I think that was a great point that he just made about, you know, Kevin
that was
Drum's
John
piece.
From
I mean,
San Antonio.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, the idea that this is the best they've got. But there really are two issues that you're referring to in your opening statement, Sigberto. One is the issue, which is very pertinent, of how to deal with the deceptive TV ads through which our, you know, fellow citizens are misinformed and miseducated, and which replace political discourse in our country, given the abrogation of modern corporate media to being a finding or telling organization and make them an entertainment organization, or as, you know, Obama said when he first got in office and wanted to ban Fox News from the White House press conference, they are a propaganda machine of the corporate right and the ultimate power. And it is, you know, it really has, you know, that to do with that. What can we do to create people-powered media to replace those corporate TV ads for the politicians and for the issues, as we're seeing in a swing state like, which really may swing the whole freaking Senate next, the Carl Levin seat in Michigan. So that's why they're putting their big guns there in Michigan, that it's an open seat, and they're able to propagandize and lie. How do we deal with those lies given the abrogation of the media? What do we replace them with? And it's a huge quandary given that the notion of, you know, of the fair doctrine in media communications and the complete evisceration of any sort of oversight of either the Federal Communications Commission or the Federal Elections Commission to actually policing our, you know, what is true on the airwaves and political speech it's been completely abrogated by both Republican and Democratic administrations, but mostly Republican. So the first thing is, how do you deal with that and replace those ads with our own actions through social media, which is what you were alluding to, I believe, in terms of what is our individual responsibility.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and the second piece is the actual, the Obamacare bill, is very, very difficult.
Hey, Jonathan, sometimes
because,
I think you're hitting some keys while you're talking that's kind of breaking you up, so please be careful with the keys.
Yeah, I'm going to stop doing that. I noticed it. Thank you. But part of it is the cluster mess that Obamacare in and of itself is, for the same reason as I wrote, Hillary's plan, that Hillary's so-called health care plan in 94 was also a mess, which is to say that in order to keep the health insurance industry at the center, the private health insurance industry, and not have any competition from a Medicare-oriented plan, Medicare is set up all over the country. But Obama did not promise us Obamacare. Obama promised us to be able to buy into the same health care plan that members of Congress currently have. And, that's what he said, during the debate where he scored, really points in 2008. And it really is a shame that, that he, with McCain, that he abandoned that in order to, embrace the big pharma and the private hospital association organizations and mostly the private insurance companies. Because the fact is, I got Obamacare. Okay, I've been through this process, Egberto. The things that are good about this plan could have and should have been achieved by a stroke of a pen within his first 6 months of office, meaning regulate, health insurance to say you cannot make pre-existing conditions, you cannot deny people for pre-existing conditions, number one. We cover your kids up to the age of 25, and there's a, if you have insurance, there is a federally mandated cap of $10,000 or $20,000, so we end the bankruptcies. Stroke of a pen. And then the setup of a public option insurance plan, which is using the Medicare administration to say, and if they don't want to give you care coverage of this or start hiking their prices because of these new regulations, here's a place you can go and shop for one. The thing about Obamacare, when I went through the system, it's a fallacy. It's like, I don't care about my health insurance plan like everyone else. I just want a Medicare plan. And so I want that for my family. I don't want to shop for a health insurance plan, which I get subsidies for, which, by the way, will disappear, as my income.
Jonathan.
Anyway, you get the picture. It's a really
bad... I get it.
Bad,
now, let me tell you something, first of all.
To have an individual mandate without a public... To have an individual mandate without a public option was, in the words of Dennis Kucinich, building this system on a house of sand.
Hey,
now
look,
I'll
here. You're absolutely correct. You and I discussed this when we were in Madison. We discussed this when we were in – where were we at that other convention? We've discussed this ad nauseum. And, the sad thing is that – I'm going to put your mic on hold and then bring you back in. The thing about it, Jonathan, is that you are correct. However – I'm an entire pragmatist, and I do understand the limitation of the presidency, and I know everything that was promised, and I know everything that we got. The reality is, I know everything that we got has the building blocks over the years to become what both you and I want it to be. It was not going to be possible for this junior senator to come into the presidency of the United States and really do the things exactly as you would want him to do without having the grassroots behind it. And where I took my mea culpa for, and I think we all should take our mea culpas for, the misinformation that's out there and not fighting them as we should. Let me give a good example. The singular purpose of the right was to defeat this president's plan. That was a singular purpose of the right. And it doesn't matter that they have World War III within that movement. They focus singularly on that issue. The left never does that. We are too, we're too analytical, we are too ivory tower, we are too elitist, in that if we don't get purity, sometimes we react badly and among ourselves, and we forget to keep our eyes on the ball. I've been guilty of that myself. I think, however, we have a plan that is better than no plan, that is better than anything that was out there. Is it true that insurance company made out like a bandit? Yes. Is it true that drug companies made out like a bandit? Yes. Is it true that it presented an option for a lot of people to get insured? True. What is our purpose? What is our goal as for those who want a true progressive policy? To keep pushing forward. And it is our job, and I'm going to bring you back in now, it is our job to build the grassroots, not to have the president work with the lobbyists that he worked with, but to force the president or any president to work with us to attain that ultimate goal that America needs. Come on in, Jonathan.
I'm going to have to get my kids in 5 minutes. But I just want to say, Egberto, I'm not talking about purity. I'm actually talking about the rationale, the foundation for why this is a problem with the lies. The reason the lies are a problem is because the Democrats, as they did in 94, abandoned what is the simplest thing in the world, which is an easy-to-explain Medicare for All system. The reason this is complicated, and whatever else we can say about Obamacare, it is really complicated,
yes.
You know, much more complicated than
it needs
would
to
have
be.
Been. And the only reason they're getting away with this, you know, Egberto, is because just like Hillary and Bill Clinton, Obama abandoned something that was simpler. And the problem with the messaging that you fellows are discussing today and the ability of them to lie in their ads and attack Obamacare is built upon its inherent complexity. And the only
reason I want to get this into the private
insurance industry in the South. Okay,
yes.
That's all I want to say about it, and I'll listen now.
But Jonathan, I need you to stay for a second longer. I know you got to pick the kids up, but here's the part that I need to get into you. You're correct. But do you remember what I mentioned in my little previous dialogue where I said, unlike the right that had the singular focus of doing this in, we also had Democrats on their side who were there to protect the insurance companies. We had Democrats on their side who were interested in protecting the pharma companies. So what I'm saying is, if you read what I wrote, not only in my prologue to this piece, but also to the piece that's going to be published in Daily Coast tomorrow, I think I give blame where blame is needed. We had not really done our job entirely so. In other words, even you cannot look at the Democrats and say, oh, these Democrats are all for the people and they want what's best for the people. Because you know what, Jonathan? There are a hell of a lot of corporatist Democrats as well. We at the grassroots got to root them out. Let me give a good example. We have two candidates here in Texas that are running, Maxie Scherr and David Alamil, okay? If you look at Maxie Scherr's resume, Maxie Scherr is the Democrat that should be replacing Cornyn in the Senate. But who has the money, the power, and even the endorsement of Wendy Davis? It is Alamil. Alamil is somebody who has never had the purity for a progressive agenda. But that is the reality of what's going on, and what we have to do as progressives who want to get a message out, who want to get not only a message but actions out, is we have to find a way to play the game and win. And I'll be honest with you. While the president didn't give us Medicare for All, while the president didn't give us not even close to Medicare for All by keeping the pharma and these other institutions active, he gave us something that no other president was able to do, and moreover, he codified the notion into people of healthcare as a right, and only if we as progressives, if we as activists, if we in the grassroots continue that motion or that movement, can we really, really convert Obamacare into Medicare for all. I think within the document, and I've read the whole document, the complexity of it, 90% of probably what I don't understand, but within there is the platform to move us forward. And John, I'd like to hear your point on this.
Yeah, I mean, I really respect Jonathan's intellect. I think he's a
very
great
smart
mind. Yeah, and I've read a lot of articles that he's written after he called in, and I really, you know, agree with him on most aspects of policy. And I agree that, you know, single payer or even, to me, nationalization of the healthcare industry is the ultimate goal, because that will actually be cheaper for everybody. But unfortunately, in our political climate, in 2008, I agree with Jonathan that Obama should have pushed for single payer more, or Medicare for all. He should have pushed. He didn't push enough for that. And I totally agree with Jonathan to that aspect. But, you know, there are political realities. And another thing that he could have done is he could have, you know, had the filibuster eliminated the filibuster. There was really no desire to do that because we didn't really understand how much resistance at the time that the Republicans
right.
were going to give Obama. I mean, it took, you know, 6 months to 9 months to really understand how dug in they were about every single issue. And so he should have fought harder, but I mean, that's just the political reality. I mean, I look at the political reality of, you know, the Democrats holding the Senate, and my hope is that there would be a bunch of progressive, you know, candidates out there to hold these seats, but they're not. Most of them are corporate Democrats, and that doesn't mean I still support them, because, you know, you don't get perfect candidates. You're given what is out there, and you have to, you know, vote for who you think is going to do the best job. And so, you know, whether it's the stimulus, you know, which should have been larger, but I mean, or you know, single payer, I mean, those are the two greatest things that Obama did in his presidency, and both of them were inadequate to a certain degree. They should have been greater. But, you know, it's just really hard, especially if you have a 60-vote threshold in the Senate, to really get things done when the Democrats, there's still so many corporate Democrats. So, I mean, for what Jonathan wants, which I think we have the same goals, we're just going to have more progressives win elections. And, you know, until that happens, we're going to be stuck in this mediocrity, you know.
You know, I don't know if you saw the stink that Crystal Ball caused. When in effect, that's exactly what she said. You know, I mean, I don't know if you remember. Well, of course you remember, John. Right after the crash of 2008, the biggest fear of these bankers and investment bankers was a collapse of capitalism. Not the collapse of economies, but the collapse of capitalism. Because within what that collapse proved to everybody is that these guys weren't all that smart, and in fact, these guys were crooks. It was the opportune time for if there was really a sufficiently large progressive governance in the country, it was would have been the right time to break the backs of the titans of finance that really provide nothing to society. We didn't. The same occurred, as you mentioned, with you know, when we came out with healthcare. It was the opportune time then to do certain things, but because, again, like I mentioned, I'm not going to protect Democrats here at all. When you hear Republicans say that a lot of what occurred within a lot of the bad that occurred within Obamacare was not their doing, they're telling the truth. We protected the insurance companies. We protected the drug companies, and these were Democrats who did that. But again, the last issues as you just mentioned, which is very, very important. In these times when we have this type of income inequality, and I don't like to use the word income inequality too much because I think it's going to be in the long run used against us, and I wrote a piece to say how that combination of words can be used against us. But I think we have to find a better way to talk about the rest of America getting the short end of the stick. But most Americans know they're getting the short end of the stick. I am yet to hear, as you said, any one of these Democrats or Republicans, for that matter, have a populist message. You know what is sad, John? When the most populist message of a major candidate running right now is coming out of Rand Paul. Is that sad or what? Let me corroborate that. I don't want to just throw that out there without corroborating it. When Rand Paul talks about reforming the school to prison pipeline, when he talks about the legalization of marijuana, when he talks about he doesn't say how, but when he talks about employment and the tone that he talks about it, I'm going to tell you, I wrote a little piece at Coast that I got hit real hard when I implied about this guy. I got hit real hard. And what folks haven't realized is I am not talking about a person like you or Jonathan or anybody else who really, really, really understands the politics. I'm talking about how messaging works with other people. Give me a quick one so I can bring 713 in, John.
Well, I think Rand Paul has, he may have a populist message on wars, and I don't think he's actually come out for marijuana legalization, but I could be wrong about that. I can look it up in a second.
Yeah, look it up for me.
Yeah, but I mean, I definitely would not call him a populist. I think the populism essentially is about, I disagree with you, and we've talked about this a couple of times about the income inequality. I think it's a drastic error that progressives are making, and I don't think progressives are making it. I think it's mostly mainstream Democrats that are running away from that, and I think you're the exception because you're definitely a progressive. But I mean, I think that it should be promoted all the time. I think that people do understand it, and I've given you polling to back that up. It's in the high 60s. It's about
66%. No, I agree. John, I agree with you that there's polling to back it up. My thing is, what I did is I played contrarian with myself. And after I played contrarian with myself, the idea is, if I were a right-winger, how would I make income inequality look to the average swing voter? And let's do that. Let me bring 713 in first, and then if we have a little more time, I put that out, or otherwise we kind of hold on that. 713, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hi, Berto. That's Michelle.
Michelle, talk to me. Kingwood. How you doing, my dear?
Oh, frustrated, but it's all right. I think the whole problem comes down to is people don't engage with their government. They don't vote.
Right.
I mean, we just had the early voting in Friday. And out of over 8 million registered voters, we had less than 500,000 voters.
From what you showed me, I think it was like less than 400,000, wasn't it? Like 170 to 180 or something. Oh, no, I think. No, no,
well,
I think you're right.
It was less than 5. Yeah.
It was less than 5. You're right.
So, yeah. And it actually out of 8.5 million. And so, you know, that speaks volumes. You know, but we don't register our kids, which is Texas law. They're supposed to twice a year. You know, it comes down to civics. And, you know, where's our sense of civic responsibility? You know, have we lost that through time?
Right. You know, it is kind of sad because I gave I did a little thing at the Kingwood, Lone Star College, Kingwood, where we spoke about Actually, we did speak about income inequality, but also money in politics. And after watching Legalize Democracy, the documentary that we did with Move to Amend, I went up there and I asked the questions, okay, and try to engage people. And the amount of wide eyes that I got was, it kind of took me aback, because here we are talking about the middle class being under attack and all these different issues. And I know these independent lives are really struggling, but no one exactly knows how to express. Oh, Jack is here. How to express it.
The thing of it is, people don't know the basics. You know, they make it so complicated. It's, for example, if you go to the Secretary of State for Texas and look at the sample ballot, that's going to mm-hmm. have statewide information. However, they don't tell you, if you want to see what's on your specific ballot, you have to go to your county clerk
right.
to review that ballot. And then, you know, there's more to it. And it's just, the voters don't know. They're not informed. I mean, I would love to see the weatherman, you know, at a voting location every time we have an election. You know,
right,
just to raise
right.
awareness. You know, there has to be participation. And it's not there. And
that is
it's
sad.
Up to us to demand it.
You're absolutely right. Michelle, I'm keeping your mic hot. Stay with me. I want to bring Jack in, because
okay.
if I forget to bring Jack, I'm going to hear from Jack. Jack, you're hot.
Okay. You hear me?
I can hear you, sir.
Okay. Whole damn issue is primaries. People don't vote in primaries because they don't want to be identified with a party.
You know, Jack, I think, Jack, actually, you know, I've never, ever thought about that before, honestly. And, you know, that may be something I have to look into. Wow, I never thought about that. Go ahead, continue.
Well,
sounds like,
go ahead, Michelle.
It sounds like Archie Bunker's statement, you know. I never thought
yeah.
about it. That's his favorite thing back in All in the Family. what I want to say is that also I'm a victim of you're talking about Medicaid. I have an $8,000 bill from Pioneer Manor. That's a nursing home in Kansas.
Right.
And I think I just paid my income tax refund of over $2,700 after the, and I paid $2,500 out of it towards, and I think I got a balance of maybe
$6,000.
Close to $900. No.
Right.
That's $7,400.
Okay, got you.
So that dollar should cover, okay. Now, if we were to have Medicare for all, and the state thing worked right, and that darn thing would have been covered by Medicaid, but my
right.
income is too high for have Medicaid. I'm north.
No,
of
no.
30,
I need to correct
000,
you. Jack. It's not Medicaid. You are over 65. It would have been Medicare.
Yeah, but what was covered was state Medicaid, and Kansas doesn't cover it.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you, Jack. But I think Michelle wanted. Yes, Michelle wanted to respond to you. Michelle?
Basically, I don't care what you're passionate. Well, I do care. But, I mean, there's something that you're passionate about, whether it's Medicare, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's education, equal rights issues, et cetera, go down the list. You have skin in this game, okay? And if what's preventing you from engaging is whether somebody sees you in a Democratic line or a Republican line, then that's an issue that you're going to have to, you know, overcome. To see
Michelle,
the main goal,
I want to challenge you on that, though, Michelle.
Forget.
I want to challenge you a little bit on that. I want to challenge you a little bit on that, because I would hold that. I probably in my old days would have said that as well.
I went through that Friday, Egberto, and I there was like 25 Tea Partiers outside of the 100-foot whatever, and at my polling location, and they come at you like a pack of rabid dogs, and they're not trying to talk about candidates; they're talking about Tea Party,
Right.
And
no, but
what I was
trying to say, Michelle,
it's hard to intimidate me, but I can see for some people how they would avoid going completely because
right. I think that's the point I was going to make. I was going to make the point that you're a strong person, so you can actually engage. And not only that, there are a lot of, and by the way, folks, Michelle lives here in Kingwood as well. So, here's what the reason I brought that up. The area that we live in, it's pretty, there are a lot of Tea Party, very active Tea Party group here. Not majority, but they're very, very active and in your face. And the reason she's bringing that up is that it's how they attack people who are coming, whoever you are, to the polls. But now, Michelle, there are women in Kingwood here I know personally with daughters in the dance groups, doing ballet or whatever, that they think just like you and me, or let me finish, like they think just like us, but they are fearful not only for themselves, but they are fearful for the stigma that their 12-year-old dancer is going to face because your mother went and didn't, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to follow up. I've made complaints with the Secretary of State before and with Harris County. I'm going to follow up again. And
that's
I'm going to follow up with NOPED, to tell my community this is not acceptable. There's things that we can do. We have to follow up and we have to make demands and make our community aware of it.
Absolutely. Now, let me come back and say this, because today's topic was what do we do about or how we handle the misinformation, the lies that are constantly being placed by parading out sick people with chronic diseases, complaining that somehow the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, is failing them. And there's one thing that I think it's important for us to do out there, and the traditional media is not going to be our friend. It's not going to be there to help us. So it is going to be incumbent upon all of us to actually go out there. It's going to be incumbent upon all of us to actually speak to our neighbors, even the neighbors that we don't necessarily like whenever they make these particular complaints. It's going to be incumbent enough on us to use our Facebook page. Like Michelle has several very active pages. Michelle has a total reach of several hundred thousand people on her page alone because of the power of geometric expansion of Facebook. Every single person has that ability, not only on Facebook, but on Tumblr, but on Instagram, but on Twitter, to be a part of that message telling the story that this is working for you right now. That is the way we are going to combat these ads. In the long run, it's going to hurt those people who've been lying to Americans. It's going to hurt them. But in the short term, I think we have a responsibility to do our part to ensure that we get the appropriate message out. Before I go, I want to bring John back in to say a few words, and then I'll start our standard, give me your last word. John?
Yeah, I just want to talk about what Jack is referring to is actually called a nonpartisan blanket primary, and it's available.
Uh-huh.
It does happen in three states. It happens in Louisiana, Washington State, and in California. It's not done by political parties. It's just everybody who's running for the office is on the ballot, and then after whoever have get the two most votes, there's a final runoff. And these are things that should be talked about and we should be thinking about, possibly implementing these things. For me, I agree with Michelle that I'm a progressive Democrat, and to me it's really I don't want to see corporate Democrats in power. Of course,
right.
Corporate Democrats have they've created all kinds of problems in our society, and you know, sometimes you don't have a choice. But
right.
You know, if given the choice, I would definitely vote for progressive, and that's extremely important to me because that's who I really believe in, and so that's
and
that's,
those,
my
and that's
on
where
the
all
open primary.
And John, that's where all our progress came from, right? Think about everything progressive that has happened. It never used to be Democratic progressives. At some time, it was Republican progressives, but it has always been progressives. But to close out, let me get Jack. Give me 15 seconds, please, Jack. 15 seconds.
Okay. You want to believe that if you go back to George Washington, and it was a great thing he didn't want to, he could have run forever as a, he didn't want
for president.
Like that.
Right.
And I think, you got to follow the example of Washington. Think about that.
Thank you, Jack. I got to let you go
dictator.
Because
right.
Got to let you go. I only have a few minutes. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Michelle, give me your final thought.
Vote. You have skin in this game. Government controls everything in your life. And in order to have a voice for yourself and your family, you need to get out there and vote.
Michelle, that goes without saying. Thank you very much, and thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. John, give me your final word, or I should say your final pros.
Yeah, I just want to recommend that everybody go to GertoWillies.com because, you've really been putting up great things. I'll give you a double promo today. I called into Sam Cedar's show, I think on Tuesday, about this lady who actually leads in polling in the Democratic primary named Keisa Rogers, who is a Lyndon LaRouche person who was convicted of fraud and taking massive amounts of money from people in 1988. So sentenced to 15 years, and 13 of his closest associates were also convicted from these charges. This guy is crazy. I mean, Ms. Rogers has a picture of Obama with a Hitler mustache on it.
Yeah.
With a swastika, she's calling for Obama's impeachment, and Mr. Hinojosa, who leads the Democratic Party, has expressed his views that he doesn't, even though she's registered as a Democrat, the LaRouches are anti-Semitic, they have associations with the KKK, they're anti-global warming, anti-LGBT. I mean, I could just go on and
I know.
On.
Hey, John, I got to go, but let me tell you. John, I got to go, but here's the thing. I know her personally. She is a wacko. I actually went over at the convention, and we spoke for about 10 minutes. She is a wacko. But getting that message across Texas is going to be important, so I'm glad that you mentioned it here. Now, folks, I need to remind you guys that we have four radio shows on Sundays. We have Progressive Politics Tennessee Style with Bud Fields. On Mondays, we have Press One for Democracy with Dan Aronson. On Tuesdays, well, not anymore Tuesday, but on Thursdays, we have Lunch with Loudon. That's a great show at 3 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, on Saturdays, you're here with me, Politics Done Right with Egberto. Now, look, folks, we have a lot of work to do. The one thing that I want to tell everybody is do not sit back and get depressed when you watch the news. Remember, the news that you're watching on TV is corporatist news. Be the media. Share what you've seen. Share things of value in every platform. And I'm not only talking about online media. I'm talking about when you go to the coffee shop and you hear something silly, talk to people. Don't let people believe they live in that unilateral vacuum of bad ideas. You engage. Engage all the folks everywhere. That is the way we're going to make a difference. You are the billboard to move a progressive America forward. Thank you very much for being on Politics Done Right. And with that, you guys have a wonderful Saturday. I am off to the Mardi Gras here in Kingwood, Texas. Take care, guys. Thank you for calling in. Bye-bye.